Today we finish the book of Ezra. We come to Ezra chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men, women, and children, gathered around him. They too wept bitterly. And we see from this that Ezra's prayer of confession that we looked at in chapter 9, his prayer of confession for the people was a public prayer that certainly came from his heart. And as a result, he broke down and cried. And the people who were by the temple and witnessed it all were broken as well. Ezra was a leader in the true sense of the word. Verse 2. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women from the peoples around us. But in spite of this, there is still hope for Israel." You know, Ezra's pretty shook up. And this man comes along and says, "You know, what we did was bad. There's no excuse for it. But that doesn't mean we can't be forgiven. There is no such thing as an unpardonable sin, as long as a person is willing to repent and confess. 3. Now let us make a covenant before our God to send away all these women and their children in accordance with the counsel of my Lord and of those who fear the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the law." In other words, these mixed marriages are not God's will. So God's people need to divorce their unsaved partners. That's the solution this man comes up with. You know, the marriages were sinful. The only way to repent of it is to divorce. And that's what he says, and Ezra will agree. Verse 4, "Rise up. This matter is in your hands. We will support you. So take courage and do it." Ezra is the one man in Israel who could pull this thing off. He is the one man in Israel who could command such a major move and also do it and have enough authority to pull it off. 5. So Ezra rose up and put the leading priests and Levites and all Israel under oath to do what had been suggested. And they took an oath. They took the oath. Ezra and company swore to God that they would insist on these divorces. 6. Then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. While he was there, he ate no food and drank no water, because he continued to mourn over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. And so Ezra met with other leaders of the Jews in private. Verse 7, a proclamation was then issued throughout Judah and Jerusalem for all the exiles to assemble in Jerusalem. All the Jews who were back in the Holy Land are ordered to come to an assembly in Jerusalem. And they're not sure why, but they're all ordered to come there. Verse 8, anyone who failed to appear within 3 days would forfeit all his property in accordance with the decision of the officials and elders, and would himself be expelled from the assembly of the exiles. Repentance is serious business, and so it had to be done right away. No fooling around. And anyone who didn't get to the assembly within 3 days would be excommunicated from the true religion. Their disobedience would show that their hearts were not right with God anyway. Excommunication is just the outward sign of a problem which is already there. Verse 9. Within the 3 days, all the men of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem, and on the 20th day of the 9th month, all the people were sitting in the square before the house of God, greatly distressed, by the occasion and because of the rain. And it was not a very pleasant time of the year. It was either late December or early January when these people assembled in the court of the temple, which was outside, and it was cold and it was rainy and miserable, and they're standing around and they don't know exactly what they were there for. All they know is it's cold. 10. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, "You have been unfaithful. You have married foreign women, adding to Israel's guilt." They had been married without God's approval. And the guilt of their sin would bring trouble on the nation as a whole. They were adding to Israel's guilt. Verse 11. "Now make confession to the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples around you and from your foreign wives." First, they had to confess their sin of marrying unbelievers. Then they had to repent by separating themselves from those unbelievers. And since God had never recognized these marriages in the first place, at least it seems like he didn't, although they are called marriages, anyway, they needed to separate themselves from these wives of theirs. They needed to divorce. This was in God's will. Verse 12, "The whole assembly responded with a loud voice, 'You are right. We must do as you say.'" Well, you know, they were told the word of God on this issue, and they believed the word of God, even though it wasn't easy. The people knew that it was the correct thing to do. They did indeed have to divorce their wives. 13. "But there are many people here, and it is the rainy season, so we cannot stand outside. Besides, this matter cannot be taken care of in a day or two, because we have sinned greatly in this thing." The weather was too miserable, and the job too big to stand around and think that it could all be done in one day. Verse 14. Somebody has a suggestion. "Let our officials act for the whole assembly. Then let everyone in our towns who has married a foreign woman come at a set time, along with the elders and judges of each town, until the fierce anger of our God in this matter is turned away from us." Each case would be investigated and dealt with at the proper time on an individual basis. That was the proposal. 15. "Only Jonathan, son of Eshiel, and Jehaziah, the son of Tikva, supported by Meshulam and Shebethi, the Levite, opposed this." These men didn't like the method that was proposed, but they were in the minority. Everybody else did. 16. "So the exiles did as was proposed. Ezra the priest selected men who were family heads, one from each family division, and all of them designated by name. On the first day of the 10th month, they sat down to investigate the cases." And so they went through with the plan, family by family, marriage by marriage. 17. "And by the first day of the first month, they finished dealing with all the men who had married foreign women." And so the investigations took a long time, 3 months, to get through all of them. And then verses 18 through 43 simply list all the men who had married unbelieving wives. We skip down to verse 44. "All these had married foreign women, and some of them had children by these wives." You can imagine how hard this was. Some of these couples had children, which made the divorce even more difficult. And yet, it was in the will of God for this to be done. No matter how painful it may be, sin must be confessed and repented of in order to enjoy God's best, in order to be right with God. We pick it up in the book of Nehemiah next time. Until then, so long, everyone.